Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to personally thank you for tuning in today to Cowboy Church.
We promise that we'll have something fresh every week. I just hate to have leftovers.
I don't know. No, sometimes leftovers are better over time, you know?
I got to thinking about that. I don't want to tell a lie. I've enjoyed a lot of leftovers in my life,
right.
And sometimes it shows.
And grateful for them,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. But spiritually, if I'm feeding, I want to have something fresh and something new. And this week, you know, the Bible talks about being filled. And the way we get filled is by being in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The way we get filled is by reading the Bible. And then sometimes we get filled by what the preacher says. So I want to make sure that I pray enough about this and seek God enough about what I'm going to be saying that it has some substance to it. And I don't want it to just be all gone by Monday morning. I want something you can feed on. That's my goal.
Yeah, sure.
That's a goal.
Sure. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, this is the only time they have.
Right.
With God, and this is what we need to do. We're going to put it out there, like feeding your cattle on Sunday morning. We're going to put it out there, the best we got for you. You have the decision what to take and what to leave behind. Welcome to Cowboy Church. We're glad you're here.
She's 15, and he's barely driving the car. Now she's got his ring, and he's got the keys to her heart. It's just a matter of time. They'll spread their wings and fly.
That first verse reminds me of the young people that are sitting on the second row.
I counted
here.
Them. I also counted the chairs.
Yep.
Seven chairs, eight people.
Right. That kind of reminds me of when we first get married. It doesn't matter how small the couch, how small the love seat or chair, you sit together.
Oh, yeah?
You crowd in there because you like to be around one another.
Mm-hmm.
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 I thought that was a really good illustration of the
way
you're
beautiful.
Supposed to be. Yeah. It is beautiful.
Pastor, that's really nice right
yeah.
there, actually.
Yeah. And the guy in the end, I didn't catch his name, but the guy on the end squeezed in, and they didn't say, go find your other chair. They moved over enough to have enough room for him to get in. And Joel was trying to move his shoulders around because he's so big, and he was trying to adjust, and it didn't matter to them.
Mm-mm.
It didn't matter because they were adjusting for their friend to be on their row.
But it gets tough after a while.
It does.
Yeah, and then what happens?
Well, people grow up, storms and heartaches.
I'm trying
to
set you up for the second verse.
Well, it can either drive us apart or it can make us closer together.
Well, let's see what happens.
There's a baby crying and one more on the way.
That's not pertaining to y'all.
There's a wolf at the door with a big stack of bills they can't pay. The sky is dark and the wind is high, but they can see the other side. Like two sparrows in a hurricane, trying to find their way with a head full of dreams and faith that can move anything. Now they've heard it's all of a pain, but all they know is how they feel. The world says they'll never make it, but love says they will. She's 83 and he's barely driving the car, and she's got his ring but he's got the keys to the truck. I just made that one up. It's just a matter of time. They'll spread their wings and fly like two sparrows in a hurricane, trying to find their way with a head full of dreams and faith that can move anything. Now they've heard it so of a pain, but all they know is how they feel. The world says says they will. Like two sparrows in a hurricane, trying to find their way with a head full of dreams and faith that can move anything. They've heard it so long, but all they know. Oh, love says they will.
Called The Living Years.
And all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a captive to all his hopes and fear. I just wish I could have told him. Filled with imperfect thoughts, stilted conversations. Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
Say it loud.
Oh, say it loud.
Say it clear.
Won't you say it clear?
You can listen.
You can listen as well as you hear. Between the present and the past, we only sacrifice the future It's the bitterness that lasts. So don't give in to the fortunes you sometimes see as fate. It may have a new perspective on a different day. And if you don't give up and you don't give in, you may just be okay.
There that morning, and my father passed away. Didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I know I heard his echoes, my baby's newborn tears. Wish I could have told you in the living
years. Oh, say it loud. Won't you say it clear? You can listen. You can listen as well.
There's been a lot of interest about the times that we live in and where it adds up and where it fits in Bible prophecy and those sorts of things. So I thought this morning maybe I'd give you just a little bit of insight into last week we talked about don't worry about these things. When the whole world hears the gospel, then the end will be. But there are several things that set up for the end, and I thought maybe I ought to just add some clarity, and in adding clarity, that it would do two things. Number one, it would inspire you to be the people God called us to be. And secondly, we would look at our times through new filters. It always helps to look at where we're at through God's filters. And if we can look through God's filters, what we can do is we can begin to understand the times and understand the seasons, and it can bring peace to our heart, or it can bring excitement in that it's not long. It's not long. And I think today is going to be a good message for us to begin to understand how the end is going to begin to unfold. I will tell you just a couple of little precursors to this, that the Save the Earth people don't have a shot. They're not going to save the earth. When the end comes, it's going to be over. And it won't matter how many trees you've saved. When God says it's the end, it's going to be done. And what we need to do is figure out what's going to matter for eternity. And eternity is the salvation of mankind. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. If God speaks it, it's never going to change. So we're gonna look at that. I would like to title this message. It says the abomination that causes desolation. It's taken from Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 13. Daniel was really disturbed when he made this prophecy or when he saw this vision. And you begin to understand why as we read this. It says, although I heard, I did not understand. Have any of you ever read the Bible that way? Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's 3.5 years, basically. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will rise with your inheritance at the end of the days. How many of you fully understood all that was said? I kind of do, yeah. All right, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to see the times and read the times, and God be equipped for the days that are ahead, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of things. Let's go back to verse 11. It says this, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. The Bible sets up events, and then it has precursors to those events. They're precursors of, like, if you were going to have a grade one earthquake, the earth begins to tell you that there's going to be a big earthquake. It'll have precursor earthquakes. It'll have a little quake here, and then it'll have an intensified quake here, and then the big quake happens, and it drops it all, and then there are rumblings after. The prophecy, a lot of times, needs to be understood in those kinds of terms. The people thought the abomination of desolation was going to happen with a guy named Antiochus. Antiochus was a man that hated God, hated him terribly, and people that are evil do hate God. Here's one thing that we begin to understand about people who hate God. The reason they hate God is they can't control him. The wickedness in the world has to do with control. Just understand that all of this stuff going on has to do with control. And you'll begin to see that this Antiochus titled himself Theos Epiphanes. And I'm not sure I could say that exactly right, but what it means is God manifest. He called himself God manifest. He actually thought that he was Zeus, who had come back from Greek mythology. He gained the throne through intrigue. And what that means is he became the leader of the then known world by deception. It's through intrigue, through magic acts and through different kinds of things, till the whole world thought that he was God. And he came into the temple and he profaned the temple by sacrificing a pig on the altar. Now, in Israelites, they don't eat pigs. Pigs are considered dirty meat, and they don't allow that. And when he sacrificed a pig, what he was doing is, God is not God. I am now God. And he set up a temple over the then temple of the Lord. He sacrificed a pig and made it to the temple of Zeus, who he thought himself to be Zeus, and everybody thought, this is the abomination of desolation. It's an abomination for people to eat and sacrifice pigs, and when they did it on the altar of God, this is considered the abomination of desolation, but it wasn't. It was a precursor. It was offensive. It was rude. It was foolish because this guy died like everybody else, and they buried him like everyone else, and he was not God, and he lost his influence, and it's basically a terrible story. But everybody thought this is from Daniel. Daniel's prophecy is fulfilled. But later on, after Christ, see, Christ said, Christ prophesied about the abomination of desolation. Well, if it happened during Antiochus, Jesus wouldn't have prophesied about it. He prophesied about it again and said that it will still come. And then the next one that was the precursor, Titus of Rome, came in and finished the rest of what needed to be done to the temple. It said, and he left no stones unturned, as Jesus predicted as the abomination of desolation. And everybody thought, oh, this is it. 3.5 more years and the world will be done. But it was not the one. It was a precursor. The actual fulfillment of the abomination of desolation, let's start in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. It says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, much like Antiochus, much like Titus did, or is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, as Antiochus did, as Titus did, showing himself that he is God. Daniel chapter 12, the one described by Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. I want to back up and read that for you. Chapter 12, verse 11. It says, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits and reaches for the end of that days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, that's what we just read. It's the Antichrist is the one that is coming that will be actually set up. Revelation 13, 5, that's the one I wanted to read you. 13, 5 through 9. And it says this, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. 42 months is, once again, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given authority over every authority. That's our word for control. He's given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, and the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has ear to hear, let him hear. If we'll go back and read and study just a little bit, I want to go through this for you so that you get what's going on. The abomination of desolation happens in the middle of what we call the tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years. It's understood by most biblical scholars that the saints will be taken in the rapture at the beginning of that 7 years. At that time, the beast will begin to take control, and at 3.5 years, he will take control, and he will sit in the throne of the temple in Jerusalem and set himself up as God.